The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine, Monday the 13th of March. If you're a 9 to 5 or 5 days a week, it's a 4 day week for the most of you. So it's going to feel like 10 days. It's always the case, isn't it? But anyway, we'll worry about that as the week wears on. I hope you had a nice, relaxing weekend. We had a sick toddler in the house, so feels like a break getting to work. It's good to be here. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. Comments via email to comments@highlandradio.com. you can watch the program, of course. I like to remind you, every morning on our Facebook and YouTube channels, or on our website highlandradio.com. And feel free to say hello, have your comments there. Good morning to Michael and Marie already joining us to watch the show. Right, okay. Plenty to come up between now and 12, so stay right where you are. Lines have closed now, our voting lines have closed now for our Irish Music Month search for a local talent star. And loads of you took part. And it was really, really tight yesterday afternoon. I don't know what happened since. But anyway, our external panel of judges will be considering the four finalists over the next day or two, and then the winner will be announced on this programme on Wednesday. And whoever goes forward to represent us, we are in with a shout as they go on to a national competition where loads of independent local stations, effectively not licensed funded stations, have come together for this competition. And the winner gets played on all the stations as well, which is great, reaching, I think, 3.3 million listeners every morning, every day, which is great. Okay, anyway, that's to come later in the week. Now, let's have a look at what's making the pages of the newspapers today. Let's start with the Donegal News. And Donegal is among several counties being targeted in a crackdown on illegal TV streaming networks. The clampdown on so-called dodgy boxes is taking place across the country to fight copyright infringement. Counties Mayo, Limerick, Meath, Offaly, Dublin, Wexford, Cork, Kildare, Tipperary and Kilkenny also being targeted. A number of legal warnings have been sent to individuals involved in providing illegal access to premium TV content, including the likes of Sky and the Premier League. The main targets are a number of online portals and services which streams access to premium TV and sports content, often selling ads around that content. So you'll see the ads on Facebook for IPTV or your Fire Stick, your loaded Fire Stick or whatever it might be called. They seem to be targeting here the resellers in this country, because an awful lot of the streamers are based outside of Ireland, in the UK and elsewhere. What you'll happen is someone locally will buy, I don't know, a thousand lines off them for 40 or 50 quid and then sell them for 80 or 90, and that's how they make their money. So far easier to target the resellers, I think, than it might be the sources of these streams. They remain incredibly active, but I think if anyone's been advertising their services on Facebook, they're the type of people that are going to be getting a virtual knock on the door. The Derry News this morning: a long-standing Seagate employee and campaigner for trade union rights revealed Unite the Union was on the verge of recognition at the company's Springtown plant. And elsewhere, sad news, deep sadness in Derry and the North West as news emerged of the death of Mr. Patrick Hume, the former head and governors at St. Cecilia's College in the city. Fondly known as Paddy, Mr. Hume was the brother of the late John Hume, an MP and Nobel laureate and former leader of the Social Democrat and Labour Party. Paddy passed away in the early hours of Sunday morning. Mr. Hume, formerly of Iona Park in Derry, was predeceased by his wife Bridget in February 2022. And our sympathies to Paul, Brenda, Fiona, Ursula, Una and Shauna, his father-in-law of Maria, Tommy, John, David, Ray and Brendan. And he's described as a devoted grandfather and also brother of Jim and the late John, Annie, Harry, Sally and Agnes. And may he rest in peace. On to the Nationals now this morning. And the Irish Independent tells us that the number of learner drivers failing to show up for a book driving test has dropped by over 80%, which is good news, I think, because hopefully then there's more options for people that actually need them. There was a thing whereby people, because you could really drive in perpetuity on your provisional licence. And I know people that were at this crack as well, close to me, if the truth be told. Not that close, but close enough, where they just kept the learner permit going. It's only really in the last couple of years that it was a big, big no-no. So that was cracked down on, so I say that's helped. Revised online test booking arrangements have been the number, I've seen the number of no-shows at driving test centres nationwide decreased by 83% in less than 4 years. New statistics, which have been released by the Road Safety Authority to former Social Democrats leader Catherine Murphy, revealed that while 24,500 learners permit holders failed to show up for a book driving test in 2019, that number fell to just 4,131 last year. RSA officials attributed the vast reduction to revised and enhanced online booking arrangements. But I should suggest, or I would suggest, that it's nothing to do with that, really, or maybe it has. I think it's the fact that driving on your learner permit became so frowned upon, and Gardaí started to actually fine people, give them points and put them off the road. But anyway, I could be wrong. The Irish Times this morning tells us that primary schools have been left in the dark about the implementation of a free book scheme to be rolled out in September. And there is a significant risk students will be without books at the start of the next academic year. It's been claimed, though I'm sure they'll come up with a solution. The Minister for Education, Norma Foley, announced funding of $47 million in last September's budget to provide free school books and related classroom resources to all 540,000 pupils attending primary schools. Guidelines for the scheme are being finalised. However, concern is mounting that publishing deadlines are being missed as a result of confusion about how the scheme will operate. But as I say, there's people being well paid to sort that out. The Irish Daily Mail tells us that families are turning to their GPs over eviction stress, and there's lots of stories in the papers today about people living in their cars, you know, real stories of homelessness and how it affects people. And the Irish Daily Mail's take on it reads as follows. Parents and desperately seeking medication from their doctors to deal with the fear and trauma of being forced out of their homes as the end of the eviction ban looms. Estate agents revealed that they have tenants begging them to help them find anywhere to live. Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman admitted that the numbers living in tents this weekend climbed to 82 in bitterly cold temperatures, despite a pledge that tents would not be used again. Wayne Stanley of the homelessness charity Simon Community said, "I'm hearing stories of mothers and families going to the doctor and being prescribed medication to try and deal with the stress. It's devastating. A tsunami of evictions is expected across the country in the coming weeks once the eviction ban expires," he said. And the government has said that's going to happen. And they don't believe that banning people being evicted from their homes would in any way be useful at this time, which I can't understand how that's the case, but that's why I'm not a politician, I suppose. On to the Irish Daily Star today, and all the talk at the weekend for people, not only in Britain, but an awful lot of people weighing in with their opinions here, was Gary Lineker. He was pulled from presenting Match of the Day on Saturday night. He's kind of got woke views, people might describe it as, and he's being censored, and some would argue that it's normally the other way around, but anyway. And then lots of his colleagues withdrew their services to the DUP, the BBC, in solidarity, but apparently they're on the verge of coming up with a solution that will see the situation resolved. The funny thing is though, that all the talk has been about what Gary Lineker said, and that will be resolved and that story will go away. But what he was commenting on, and that is the new immigration rules, which many people see as cruel, they're actually just going to come in and life will continue in that regard. And he will have had his say, all the coverage would have been had, but at the end of the day, on the actual issue of the UK's crackdown on immigration in the way they are choosing to do it, that is still going to come in to effect. Gary Lineker was finally lost for words last night as the BBC was hit by 2 days of disrupted sports coverage. The Match of the Day host broke cover for the first time to walk his dog after the show aired without him. But the outspoken star simply said, "I can't say anything" to questions from reporters when he left his home in southwest London. His appearance came as BBC boss Tim Davey reportedly jetted back from the US for crisis talks to defuse the row, which has hit the corporation's sport coverage this weekend. Match of the Day aired for only 20 minutes without accompanying commentary or analysis from pundits following a boycott in solidarity with Lineker. Now, ironically, it had an extra 500,000 Now, I hate the waffle before and after a game. I don't watch it. Like the rugby yesterday, I just switched on as the game started, switched over for halftime. This is the rugby, and restarted the second half and watched it that way. The same with GEA and the same with soccer. I'm not, people waffling in studio, it does nothing for me. So I wouldn't miss it. I wonder, are a lot of people like me? And maybe that's why an extra 500,000 were able to just switch the TV on and watch the goals. But anyway, Match of the Day aired for only 20 minutes, I mentioned. Match of the Day 2 and planned coverage of the Women's Super League match between Chelsea and Manchester United yesterday ran with reduced formats. The chaos engulfed the Beeb, or engulfing the Beeb, came after Lineker slammed the UK government Stop the Boats policy and compared language used around immigration to Nazi Germany in the 1930s, which is what he said. And that's all he said. But the way the world has gone now, there are those who are pro-immigration that instantly, because they are, attack Gary Lineker, and it happens in reverse as well. And what he said, people have gone far beyond that. He is. I saw an article where someone said it's an absolute disgrace, Gary Lineker comparing a government minister with Hitler, which he actually demonstrably did not do at all. He just said a lot of the rhetoric, a lot of the language is similar to language in Germany in the 1930s, which, if you see a comparison, is basically true. But anyone, it seems, whether you're on the left or the right now, firstly, if you say anything the other side don't like, you're shut down and demonised for it. And then on top of that, you're misquoted. You know, people just say, oh, he said that, even when he didn't. And as I say, it's not just in this direction, it seems in all directions. The world's gone absolutely crazy. Well, anyway, he was forced to step back from presenting duties by the broadcaster after refusing to apologise for his comments made on Twitter, but the decision backfired. And half the problem is as well that the boss man, Tim Davey, he helped get Boris Johnson an €800,000 loan before he was appointed to that job. Stinks to high heavens, doesn't it? That's being investigated. Then you've got other personalities, Andrew Neil amongst them, on the BBC's payroll, who is very outspoken politically. Alan Sugar's the same. And there's a few others. So there's a serious... what it looks like is the BBC gave in to pressure from government. And all of that was being had in... The conversations we had in the context that the BBC is impartial. Now, come on, seriously. No harm to BBC or RTE for that matter, but they're not impartial. I mean, it would be ridiculous to say so. I mean, we know over the last while that that's simply, again, you can demonstrate that that is not the case. So the whole basis of the argument was a bit silly to me, because they were talking about upholding the BBC's impartiality, but it's not an impartial organisation. Anyway, on to the Irish Sun this morning. Children's Minister Roderick O'Gorman says he endures abuse every day online because he is gay. The Green TD revealed his team is forced to remove comments falsely alleging he is a paedophile and child groomer off his social media accounts on a daily basis. Minister O'Gorman yesterday told RTE such behaviour needed to be called out as it was happening more and more frequently. He said the level of abuse is at a whole new level to when he began his political career in 2004. He said every politician has to be ready for robust criticism. Absolutely. But there is a definite change in dialogue in some parts of the public on these issues. I'm able to take it, but for young people who are online and having to face similar attacks, it's really difficult. And I think it's important we call it out. And there are, you know, people can't disagree as much anymore without going to personal insults. And the next generation's watching that. They're watching mom and dad saying that, you know, if you feel passionately enough about anything, whatever it might be, then you can say whatever you like about the person that you disagree with. That's the way it seems to be now. And again, I'm not pointing fingers in any particular direction, but the young people are watching on going, well, if the adults are at this crack, I'm going to be at it too. And it's another generation that will be coming through with that mindset. Finally, in the Irish Daily Mirror, 100 members of Garda Rep Body, or a Garda Rep Body, will march to the Forces HQ today in a move which highlights the frustration, stress and anger its members are feeling. The Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors will hand a letter into management over health, safety and welfare in a row over proposed rosters. And the International Council of Police Representative Associations has weighed in behind the rep body in support of their move. Right, 086 60 25,000. Have you any comments on anything you heard there? Or give us a call on 0749 125,000. It's the 9 till noon show. It's great to be back with you for another week. And we'll be back with our first guest of this week after these messages. Now, I'm sure most of you out there will be familiar with the company Stitch It Bernie. Its owner is Bernie, and Bernie joins us on the line now. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us. And this really highlights the struggles that businesses are facing. And it's through the cost of electricity. You got an awful shock when your most recent bill came through.
Yeah, I got I got an electric bill and a rates bill on Friday morning. So you open them up and over €1,000 for the electric bill. And I know 300 was from the previous time, which leaves it 700, which is still an awful lot for 2 months for such a small business that doesn't have, you know, hasn't got the big intake of the likes of Michael Hannay's and them big stores.
Yeah, so, the margins are much much narrower, and it's you creating your own revenue. In terms of your electricity usage as well, I mean, what kind of machinery do you use for your repairs and what have you?
I do have three machines, but they're not really sore on electric. But I do have the iron, which is on all the time, which is probably one of the ones that use most heating, and the oil burner. That was the only two things that were pretty sore on the electric. Because I used to work from home, and like my electric was never any higher because I had a machine on there again.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how you're using over £700 in 2 months. And then you have to take out your Sundays and the days that you're not working. You know, so it's not really a full 2 months.
And, I mean, there comes a point too, Bernie, I'm not saying you're at that point, but when you get your rates bill, your electricity bill like this here, and you have to put in the hours in the line of work that you do. I know my mum and father were involved in a similar trade really effectively, so I know how hard work it is. There comes a point where you say, well, is it worth it? Well, I'm being rated and particularly the power charged out of doing this.
Yeah, well, last night I did, before I come on, I did sit down last night now, and I know I'm nearly open 8 years, and I didn't actually sit down and weigh everything out, because I just wanted to go to work. I didn't want to sit in the house and claim anything, you know, just to sit in the house. So what, I have 11 bills before you earn any wages at all. You know, between your rent, your insurance, your rates, your diesel, your electric, water, then your stock, then the property tax, oil, the accounts man, and then advertising. And then, of course, you need the phone. So all them needs paid, which doesn't really leave you with an awful amount of money altogether.
Yeah.
So I would need to earn over €110 a day to make any profit then after that.
Wow.
Which is, like, trousers, hems would be a tenner with me.
Mm.
And that would kind of be the quickest job that you can do. But that still would take 11 pairs a day. That would take nearly 5 hours work. So you only have 2 hours, 2.5 hours work of anything coming in. You know, and then you do have customers come in and they like to have a wee chat, and you don't be rude. You stand, like, I like to chat as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I get
so you. We stand and have the wee conversation. So that does take into your time as well. So you're lost in there again. Now, I don't mind chatting one bit because I'm the biggest chatterer out. But.
And also your type of business is such as well. And there's a few other similar businesses whereby you can't slap a fiver on. You know what I mean? If turning up a pair of trousers is a tenner, you can't then say all of a sudden it's 15, because you could find yourself sitting there, you know, with nothing to do. You know, you're kind of a wee bit hamstrung there, I think, if I'm right, Bernie.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. I've raised my price once, and that's a couple of years ago. It was €8, and I put it up to €2.
Yeah.
I don't want to be adding on. I haven't raised the prices way the inflation has last while, and I don't want to do that, because I know myself. People are finding it hard, and they don't want to be paying big money to get something repaired. You know?
Yeah.
But it does make you sit back and think, is it really worth it? But then I don't like to sit at home, Greg. I like to go to my work.
Yeah, but that...
I love what I do.
But the thing is, Bernie, we can't have a system set up that's exploited, right? Because you have a small business, as you say yourself. It's... You're earning money, right? You're earning money. You're not reliant on the state, and you're paying into the state through all the rates and the taxes and the water and everything else, right? But it's almost impossible for you to run a successful business where you're, you know, even putting a few quid away at the scale, because the system is set up in such a way that it takes so much of what you earn that one person, even with all the work in the world, couldn't work to make a very successful business. It sounds like... It's a very confusing way of describing it, but what I'm trying to say is the system is set up not to support people like you. You are far better off sitting at home doing nothing. Now, yeah. not for yourself, yeah. But financially. That's crazy. That's a bad system.
Yeah, financially, I would be better off sitting at home, 100%. That is why it's so hard to get staff, because they are better sitting at home than they are getting paid to go to work.
Yeah. But then again, you see, you hire someone. If you hire someone and they're paid, I'll just say off the top of my head, say they would be getting 50 quid a day. I'll just say that for an easy figure. You know, that's five alterations. And then only after that, are you making money, you know, with someone else working with you? I mean, that again, on a small scale business, it makes it very, very difficult. For you to sort of, you know, employ it. Yeah, again, that's wrong.
The person
is not going to work for you may well be at home being paid not to work. How does that...
That's right. We're in now to near the end of midway through the third month, and these are always the toughest months in every business.
Mm.
So these months, I'd be lucky if I would get 3 weeks' wages, like full week's wages. I would be lucky if I get that. Other than the husband's working, I probably would have no money of any kind, if you know what I mean. I'm not coming on here to cry poverty.
No, listen, I think you're being really honest and speaking for a lot of businesses, Bernie. No one's going to think that you're that's this case at all. Now, I mean, obviously the big kick in the teeth is the cost of the electricity. And what makes it even worse is that over the weekend, oil companies reported hundreds of billions of euro in profits. Wholesale costs are lower now than they were before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And yet here we have a business like yours getting bills through the door, which probably, what are they, three times what they were before? Something like that, maybe even more.
Yeah, definitely so.
You know.
Yeah, the electric used to be only just over 200 euro for the 2 months.
Yeah. Well, it's four times it then.
Yeah.
So the people you're paying electricity... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Bernie.
No, I know everybody's in the same boat, but it is frustrating.
And you're saying, why would anyone move back here? Why would anyone choose to live here?
I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't get why they want to come over here and go to work, and you're just working to pay your bills. That's it.
Right. Okay.
I don't get it.
All right, Bernie, so tell us about some of the services you provide to the public.
Okay, well, I sew absolutely anything, up to wedding dresses, do wee christening gowns, all types of alterations, men's, women's, children's.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe, Craig, you were in the shop at one stage yourself.
Indeed. I can't remember what I came in with as well. Are you still in the same...
It's probably something to do with.
It was Navaney Car Park, isn't it? Is it?
No, it's up Donegal Road now, just.
All right, okay, so you're in the Donegal Road. I went in there...
Yeah.
You were very good value and brilliant work. And I think in this day and age, it's so easy maybe to go and buy stuff cheap that you're far better off doing alterations. I was reading last week the amount of really good clothes that are sent out of Ireland and end up in dumps in Africa. You know, we should be using people like yourself to maintain clothes. Let the leg... We used to let trousers down. Does anyone let trousers down anymore? Do you do much of that?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay, that's good.
That.
Right, all right.
Yep,
good. We're not chucking them out. Right, so tell us where you're located so if anyone needs any work done, because there's lots of people out there with alterations and they can support your business, Bernie. So tell us where they can find you.
You can find me in the Donegal Road between the Bank Ireland and Lidl and just up the Donegal Road, kind of halfway there.
Excellent.
You couldn't miss it. It's a purple and orange building painted.
Well, I know where it is. I wanted you to push it for us, Bernie. All right. Okay. Listen, and I hope people support you and other businesses like yours because we don't want to lose them. And I hope the government gets a bit of sense and realises that it's businesses like yours and others that need to be supported. And it's very frustrating and it's a kick in the teeth. And then on a Friday, you're heading into the weekend and you wonder, why the hell do I bother my bum? But hopefully it's a new week and you feel a bit better on it, Bernie. And maybe you can get your accounts person to see if you can apply for any of that money refund, the electricity refund maybe.
I don't think I'll get that because my... landlord's name is actually on the electric bill.
I get you. Okay. Well, anyway, what we can do is support businesses like yours. So on the Donegal Road, it's a big purple building. It stands out like her thumb just after she stuck a needle into it.
That's it.
All right.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Keep your thimbles close. All right. Take care. Bye bye. Okay. All that's right. Bernie. Stitch It Bernie there. Her bill has quadrupled and she's located there on the Donegal Road, just between that corner we were talking about, remember, with the crossing, and the Lidl just up the road. If you want to support that business, local businesses keep things ticking over, don't they? That lady just needs to put the price up 20%. The general public are very aware of the situation and they won't mind paying an extra few euros. She shouldn't be frightened to raise the prices. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, but I just think, and as I say, not that much, but my parents used to do some of that. If you're getting an alteration done, you might be doing it because you say, well, I'll alter this rather than buy something new. There does come a point, and maybe 20% is not that point, whereby people might go, it's hardly worth it, you know. Michael McCaffrey, the councillor, says, Greg, we're all on a slippery slope with the ESB. Once everything goes electric, cars, heating, etc., no chimneys on new houses. It's only going the one way, a slush fund for electric suppliers down the road, as well as immediately for many. Interesting, over the weekend, and you might not hear much about it, the EU has effectively scrapped plans for the banning of the internal combustion engine by 2035. It had been the plan that all petrol and diesel cars across the EU would be gone by 2035 in terms of new cars produced. There are a couple of major car manufacturing countries, amongst them Germany, who have a veto. And the Germans, at the end of last week, said, no, can do, we're not doing it. So it looks like the internal combustion engine will be around for quite some time to come. Now, obviously, Ireland possibly could vary it and continue with their plans. We don't really take the lead on too much in this country, do we, either? All right, okay. We're going to be talking about littering, the ongoing problem. Our beautiful county. It is the most stunning county in the world, in Ireland. All right, let's not get carried away, but certainly in Ireland. And unfortunately, there are people that don't care that other people have to come and pick it up. They don't care that they're ruining the look of our beautiful place because they're too tight or too lazy and just throw stuff out the window. We're going to be speaking to a councillor about that after these. Right, we're joined on the programme now, as I mentioned, by Councillor Niamh Kennedy, an independent councillor on Donegal County Council. Niamh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. How are you today?
I'm good, and thanks for joining us. It's a shame, isn't it, that we have to revisit this issue, Niamh. Why did you speak out again about littering, effectively?
Well, basically, in bottom line, is that we're sick, sore and tired of looking at rubbish on the roadsides that people are throwing out from their cars and their trucks as they're passing by. We have so many brilliant people and so many great volunteers in the county that are out cleaning up after other people who just don't bother. Their own cars and vans and buses are all clean, but they don't care when they throw it out the window what the countryside looks like. We've got a brilliant reputation for being a lovely county to visit. And yet and all, when we pass each road and we all see it every day, the amount of rubbish that's thrown out of car windows is just really is disgusting. Now, I think people are really, really fed up with it. And what's going to happen is volunteers are going to get so fed up, they're just going to say, you know what, why are we bothering? Because this is just endless. It's so desperately unfair.
And people are trying so hard. This happens all year round. So the truth is that our fantastic volunteers that are out the crack of dawn, often we don't see them, picking up the rubbish that's discarded. It's probably their neighbours or at least members of their community that they're picking up after. I mean, does the person responsible not care or not think that that's wrong? I mean, how do we get through to people, Niamh? Because as I say, you know, this is a conversation we had last year, the year before, this year. Mm. We'll have it next year again and the year after that. It's just... How do we get through
for an eternity? I genuinely think the more we kind of dismiss it, and the more we speak up and say, you know what, clean up after yourself and don't be just a dirty person and throwing stuff out the window. You know, the more we, I suppose, give out about it, maybe the better, because enough is enough. I mean, like you say, we have takeaways from, obviously, from at night time. People are throwing it out the window. They're probably not thinking of the mess that they've left behind. You know, there's always spots. There's always target areas. You could nearly tell when somebody's coming from a certain spot in Donegal Town, a takeaway, to a certain spot in Fintra.
Oh, 100%.
They're finished their takeaway now.
You can see where it is. And I can see it on the roads I'm at. Right, but From people I speak to on this programme over the years, people who litter, people mm-hmm. that might park in a driving bay mm-hmm. reserved for the disabled, right? Often mm-hmm. other members of the public will pull them up on it and they're mm-hmm. told to F off. So in other mm-hmm. words, what I can conclude from that, I think, is that the people that are doing this, we're not going to get through to them, because if they come on the line now, they'd probably say, Niamh, mind your own effing business, Greg, F off, I'll do whatever I like. Do you know what I mean? So us mm-hmm. condemning it and appealing to people's better judgment is not working, because, as I say, the experience of listeners is that if they challenge someone, someone challenged someone who's chucking nappies out of the car, and they were literally told to F off. Like, I'm not using emotive language just for the crack. Mm. So it's those people that might only listen. If you're inclined to do that and you don't care and you tell someone to clear off if they challenge you, then they're only going to understand punishment, being penalised. Exactly. So how do we mm-hmm. do that then effectively? Is it number plates stamped on packaging? Is it more patrols and people being pulled over and fined? Like, what do we do?
Well, this is it. What do we do? I do know of, you know, areas where Gardaí have spotted people and have seen and have picked up rubbish themselves and was able to trace it back to an individual, and they've been fined, and then the fine goes back into the Tidy Towns, you know, groups or whatever it is, which is a benefit, but there's maybe not enough of that. There are some local Gardaí who are very, very conscientious and very good like that, and they'll pull someone up on it and say, here, you know, there's a clean-up next week, you better go there because I've caught you throwing something out your window. You know, stuff like that, but maybe it's not big enough yet, maybe it's not strong enough, but certainly, you know, if we are trying to create a nice impression of a nice, pleasant place to live and to work and to visit, then we really, really are going to have to open our eyes and widen the scope of what it is that we can do.
As I said before, I would like to, I said it when we talked about this the last time, and I'll say it again, I would love the council to look at this at a different approach. Let's start putting signs up, big signs, that are very visible in the places that you know you can identify, right? We can move them around, it doesn't matter, where we ask people, please don't dump here. Do you know what I mean? So that someone has to think twice before they do it. You know, more innovative radio and newspaper campaigns, whatever it might be. Yeah. Let's do a month of that and see if it has any impact. I can think of two places instantly where I'd put a sign up. You know, it's a small enough area so that the people that are doing this live up this road, okay? Put a sign up saying, please don't dump your rubbish here, because it's the same rubbish, it seems, every weekend. At least let's try that as well and see, you know, at least we can say we exhausted all of the carrot before we start whipping out the stick again properly.
Well, yes, certainly we could try it, although I think people most of the time ignore signs as well. I mean, they ignore disabled signs, they ignore no parking, they ignore double yellow lines.
Well, we can't give up, though. I know what you're saying. I know. But if it just made people think, because there is the argument that I'm sure people will have when they're listening, will be, well, look, at people maybe can't afford to pay for the disposable of rubbish. You know, and I understand that. But often this stuff is chucked out of a car so the people can afford a car. You know,
They can afford the takeaway.
They can afford the takeaway. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can understand that maybe occasionally, and there's no excuse for it, that someone has rubbish building up in the house, they cannot afford to dispose of it, and they might take full bags of rubbish somewhere and dump them. It's completely wrong, should never happen. But we're talking about incidental littering, where people could take it home and put it in the bin, but they just don't care because they've clearly got the resources for the car, the takeaway, and to be out at night maybe, and it's just that they don't care about their county.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe more promotion around times of maybe the rally weekend, around times of, you know, where there's a festival or an event coming up, that there would be a presence of people there that would be, you know, make sure you clean up your rubbish. And, you know, when you go to festivals now and events and stuff like that too, there's always a great emphasis on, you know, bring your litter home or, put, you know, have bags there or bins there in places that people can actually put their rubbish into. And a lot of young people are really conscientious, don't get me wrong, and there are a lot of really good people out there, and the volunteers are unbelievable. And there's nothing as soul destroying as going out on a road as a volunteer and cleaning up an area and looking and think that's a great job, and to come back a couple of hours later to see the mess again, and you're going, why are we bothering them? This is just so soul-destroying.
Yeah, well, here's a group of people that seems like they're a person, their soul's destroyed. We had a clean-up last weekend in the Creasla area, and we picked up a lot of rubbish heading in the Termon direction. We picked up everything, and they say, and fair play to them, and we applaud them, and they do amazing work, they say, though, could bins along the road help? You see, the problem is bins actually attract rubbish. And I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but it's like bottle banks. You think they are great, don't get me wrong, but next thing you know, you've got all types of rubbish and bottles dumped there when they're full. Now, you could say, well, we'll clean them out more often, but bins along the road, the council's not got... Maintenance is always the blocker, I think, for our developments in this county. Do you think that would make any difference?
The bins, no, definitely not. I've noticed actually in Sligo, they've taken all of the bins away from Mullagh Moor, and that there's not a bin to be found anywhere near the beach or in that village anywhere. And it works, and there's nothing. It's perfect. And the council would say that themselves. They would not put bins, say, up at Sleeve League or places like that, because no, it just attracts more rubbish. So the community, the Tidy Towns locally, would have lifted all the bins from the shorefront and said no, because it was household rubbish and camper van rubbish and all sorts being thrown into them. And the seagulls were coming along and pulling it out onto the footpaths, which was an absolute mess altogether. So, you know, there's an awful lot of issues there around that, and sometimes bins are not the issue unless they're sealed and enclosed. And again, they're very, very expensive.
And then they put the small holes in so people don't put in their household waste, and then they get jammed, and then the rubbish just gets left behind them. I know tourist towns in the middle of the town where the bin is full and there's just everyday rubbish around it, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think with what we've seen over the winter, the problem is still bad, and with the tourism season upon us, I just think we need to do something else in terms of signage or awareness, or let's make 2023 the year where we try something else, because I don't think we have the resources for patrols. The mobile CCTV cameras, they were talked about, I'm not sure if they ever existed, and if they did, what they achieved. We just need to come at this from a different angle, I think, Niamh, or else it's just, you know, making the same mistake over and over again, and we know what that's the definition of.
We do. I think next month is the big Donegal clean-up month as well, so that'll be another big campaign from the local authority in relation to that. And there'll be a lot of groups out there cleaning up. And a lot of people are on the roadsides that are cleaning up. And like, let me tell you, when you're out there and there's cars flying past you or trucks flying past you, it's not the most pleasant place to be.
No.
You know, you literally are taking a risk by being out there. And a lot of people are doing that because they've been very, very conscientious of their environment and about the landscape and how they want things to be and how they see it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to be conscious of those people and children. It's not children that's thrown rubbish out on the roadsides.
It's learned behaviour, and they're seeing their parents do it. I just wonder, maybe are we still putting as much focus on, you know, the green flags and all this kind of stuff in schools? I remember going back, 10 years ago, you know, the raising of the flag and all this kind of stuff. Are we still focusing on littering in our schools? And not just our primary schools either, but our secondary schools. It'd be interesting, anyone out there that's all involved in the school could let us know. Maybe you know, Niamh. But, you know, like, whatever about the current generations, the next generation, I think we need to double down and get the message across to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the schools are being quite proactive still. They're still at it, and the national schools, and indeed the TY students in the secondary schools seem to be really, really proactive there as well. They've got good guidance on that, and there is that there. But I think it's that older cohort that's just a little bit maybe scathy, maybe just not thinking, you know, they're just not thinking of the environment. Maybe they're just not thinking, you know, of anything really at the moment. They're just having a good time and not thinking the consequences. If someone's killed on the roadside by, you know, cleaning up someone's litter, it'll be an awful thing to have in your conscience, you know.
All right, thanks very much, Councillor Niamh Kennedy. Have you seen any solutions out there to the problems? And they are, it's an ongoing problem. 086 60 25,000. And a big shout out to the people who are out doing the cleanups in every part of our beautiful region. They're out very early in the morning often, or at the weekends, out picking stuff up. The council supports them with bags and pickers, I think, and they collect the rubbish and stuff. But, you know, we need to come up with some sort of a solution to stop the littering of our county and our region. 0866 25000. What's the solution? Mary's been on to us and she's raised the other issue, which comes up regularly and rightly so. Councillor Kennedy's so right, it's disgusting, and I find also that dog fouling is a menace. It's just pure laziness and pure raring, believes Mary. Get real, Greg. People who dump rubbish have no regard for signs. The only language they understand is a hefty fine with their name published in the local press. The council is guilty of being very lethargic in this regard. Look at the roundabout in Lifford. It's littered with unauthorised sign with council staff passed by every working day. Nothing appears to be done about it. I understand why you're bringing that in. I suppose it's a... We've talked about that as well on this programme quite regularly. All takeaways should stamp their takeaways bag, and when you get one, stamp it with the time you got it, thus catching them on takeaway CCTV. Now, that sounds like a GDPR minefield, but it might change attitudes, you see. It's not necessarily that everyone that dumped would get caught, but it's the fear of getting caught, because at the moment you can do it and you know you're not going to get caught. What's the protocol if someone is mowing the lawn and they dump their clippings over the hedge or over the road? Is that allowed? Anyone out there know? Is that treated the same as, you know, plastic waste? Or can they be dumped on the side of the road or over the hedge? That's lawn clippings. Let us know. 086 60 25000. Good morning, Greg. So it was okay when it was all on the right. Nothing was said. But now the woke lefty Gary Lineker gets what he deserves. I know how, I can understand exactly where you're coming from with that. But the reality is that... these pylons and censoring of people, it absolutely achieves very, very little. And you can probably think of what's the quickest example, Matt Letizia, perhaps. When he was let go from his position, there was not the big uproar then. But as I say, I'm not interested in, personally myself, getting involved in stolen throwing from the left or the right, let's just say. But... you know, people need to be able to have a polite conversation. If Gary Lineker's comments were in favour of the government proposal on immigration, would the BBC have censured him? No, of course they wouldn't have. They go on to say that, like RTE, the national broadcaster is ruled by the politicians. Councillor Michael McBride says that Letterkenny Milford Municipal District should hold a workshop to identify a site for the proposed transport hub in Letterkenny as a matter of urgency. It's remarkable, isn't it, really, Michael, that still... Now, especially with what appears to be plenty of space around the town for a transport hub, that people are all having to gather in one kind of congested spot with little shelter and little facilities. It doesn't make a great deal of sense in 2023, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. No, I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, if we look at the transport situation there in Letterkenny at the moment, we have our bus hiring station, and then we have another area, you know, where private buses are pulling in, and then we have our taxi ranks around the town. Now, going back to the last, the last county council elections, I had been lobbying, you know, for a transport hub, and we've discussed it, you know, many times and council meetings since that, and all the local councillors strongly agree, you know, that a hub would be a great benefit to Letterkenny, and I think the site must be convenient to the town centre, you know, and ideally accommodating, you know, the public buses, bus here and local links and taxis. And we'd like to see it tying in with a new bus service for the town, you know, where we would have three buses travelling to different areas in the town on a regular scheduled timetable. And I think this would help people, you know, to be able to get into the town centre for appointments, for shopping. Even they're going out to visit somebody in another area of town, they could go into the transport hub and take another bus then to get back out to another side of town. So I think there's a lot of positives and a lot of pluses on it, but I just believe that the time has come now that we need to identify a site, and we've been talking about it for a while, but you know, I think it's very important that we get this right, because it will be of great benefit to the town in Letterkenny.
You've raised this before. I know I've spoken to Councillor Kieran Brogan about this before, and I'm sure others that just don't come to mind at the moment. Yous are the guys that were elected. Yous are calling for it. What's the holdup? Why are these plans not being moved forward? Are they being sort of tied into, let's wait and see what we're going to do with this big 2040 plan for Letterkenny, and it has to be in the right spot for how the town's going to develop in future years? I suspect that's kind of a problem, because a decision has not been made yet as to how Letterkenny is going to develop. And if you don't know how that's going to be done, how do you know where to put the transport hub?
Well, I think, you know, we've been discussing the town bus, the new town bus service for quite a while. We'd be probably, at a reasonably advanced stage on that. And I think that's all going to tie into the overall plan that I'm talking about. So I don't think that should hold us back, Greg, to be honest with you. I think, you know, we need a plan for the future. And I think, you know, all these towns around Ireland where they have, you know, decent transport hubs in around close to the centre of the towns, they seem to work really, really well. And I know this one will be, a transport hub would be a massive benefit to the whole town.
Well, let's talk about this transport that you're talking of. Are we talking, which would make sense to me, a park and ride, hop on, hop off service that would be regular? Because it would have to be regular. You'd have to see, you'd have to feel that, right, a bus is going to be coming along in under 10 minutes, for example. Is that what you envisage? And how do you prevent three buses not being stuck on the main street? I'm not being negative, but, you know, there's no point having buses that are circumnavigating the town and are supposed to be convenient if they're jammed up in a row up outside McGettigan's Hotel because the traffic is stuck in the town.
Well, Greg, as a most, you know, the what we target to do with this is to reduce traffic coming into town. And look, I can't legislate for a traffic jam. That may happen from time to time. I'm sure there are the same problems in Dublin and, you know, different places where they're trying to provide traffic. The area would come to mind as well. You know, there are buses on and out to Foyle Street all the time. But, you know, we have to make an effort for to try and reduce the number of cars coming into the middle of the town to try and alleviate the traffic. And I think this is the smart way.
Okay.
This is the sensible way to go about it, Greg, I believe.
All right, good to speak to you. Any advances in terms of transport's going to be welcomed, aren't they? Right, back after the news and obituary notices.